Woodland and 8 Mile Rock High School. And in particular, Mr. Speaker, thank you. The motion is for a select committee to review and consider all matters pertaining to allegations of sexual abuse and sexual molestation at the 8 Mile Rock High School and all matters related thereto, and an inquiry into the procedures and protocols of the Ministry of Education relative to allegations of sexual abuse, sexual molestation, and any form of sexual misconduct in the public school system, with powers to send for persons and papers, with leave to sit from place to place, and with leave to sit during the recess. Mr. Speaker, select committees are appointed pursuant to Rule 20 of the rules of this Honourable House. And if I could, with your leave, just refer to it so we know what I am seeking to achieve, Mr. Speaker. A select committee shall be appointed on motion to investigate, examine, or review bills or specific matters moved by a member and authorized by the House, and shall reflect as far as is practicable the political composition of the House. A select committee shall be empowered to send for persons and papers, to sit from place to place, and any other power the House may determine. Select committees shall be given a defined period to report to the House. And if the committee does not complete its work within that time, the chairperson may request the House to permit an additional period. Mr. Speaker, select committees are often appointed in parliaments throughout the world to inquire into matters of utmost public importance and to provide scrutiny of the executive and to seek accountability in the administration and execution of policy matters by the executive. Mr. Speaker, the subject matter of this motion for a select committee is, in my view, clearly a matter of utmost public importance, involving the welfare and well-being of children and the accountability of fundamental institutions in the protection of the interests of children, namely the Ministry of Education, the Department of Social Services, and the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Speaker, this request for a select committee came in the midst of what I will call a firestorm of allegation and counter-allegation and turmoil in what appears to have unfolded into an unprecedented public standoff between community stakeholders and government officials, centering around the welfare of children. It was therefore, Mr. Speaker, a matter of great surprise, I believe, not only for me and members of this House, but for the country in general, that when we sought to commence this debate, the government refused to consent to a debate on this matter, despite the fact that they conceded that the procedural correctness of the matter, it having been duly placed on the agenda in accordance with notice duly given weeks before. Mr. Speaker, you upheld the position of the government, holding that this issue was a private member's business, which you said, I think it was pursuant to Rule 47. Government business shall have precedence over private member's business. Private member's business shall be taken on the second Wednesday of each month that the House is sitting, or at a time agreed by the House, and on report by the House Rules and Business Committee. Speaker, you found that pursuant to that rule, that the private member's business that I've outlined would not take precedence over government business. You will recall, Mr. Speaker, that the only government business at hand at that time, it was about 6:30, was the adjournment of these proceedings. The next day, the government's refusal was the subject of media headlines nationwide. Mr. Speaker, you later sought, according to media reports, published reports, to elaborate on your position taken where you are reported in a daily newspaper to have said that as long as the government claims it is not prepared to debate such a resolution, you will continue to rule against it. On the other hand, and I think this was a quote, Mr. Speaker, if a member of the government does not object, then it would just go through. I would not interfere. I wouldn't have anything to say or do. Mr. Speaker, while I accept your ruling, as I must, I do not agree with it. I do not believe you are correct in this, Mr. Speaker, with the greatest of respect. But what is ironic here, Mr. Speaker, is that the business of this Honourable House has been so arranged over the last 2 years of this administration that we have not had the opportunity to meet on a second Wednesday to conduct such business in accordance with the rules. Very rarely. I think you can count on one hand the amount of times the opportunity has been allowed, 2 years. I would add, Mr. Speaker, that this feature of the rules appears in all Commonwealth parliamentary systems, the one that gives the right for the opposition to speak on matters of public interest. And they appear in all parliamentary systems as a measure to assure accountability, transparency, and to bolster democracy, Mr. Speaker. If the government were to have its way, as you have suggested, Mr. Speaker, and as the last 2 years have shown, Mr. Speaker, we could potentially never have this debate on a matter which has captured the attention and grave concern of our population, involving the most vulnerable sector of human society. In fact, Mr. Speaker, if we accept what you say, the government would be able to manipulate these proceedings throughout its entire administration of 5 years, potentially, so as to stifle debate on matters of public importance and avoid appropriate scrutiny of its activities. Speaker, that would be an absurd notion, one which I will never accept as a citizen of this country, and I might as well say so now, Mr. Speaker. It is also a dangerous proposition. I trust this day marks the end of such an outrageous abuse of Parliament as we've seen over the last 2 years, Mr. Speaker. Speaker, we learned, however, last week that the government seems to have contemplated and meditated its position taken in this regard, no doubt taking into consideration the extreme public reaction which followed its refusal to accede to a debate at that time on this sensitive and serious matter. Speaker, the government has come to the conclusion that this so-called private member's business is now to be considered a matter of utmost public importance. Speaker, we believe the government has now taken the correct and wise position. But it is ironic, Mr. Speaker, that we are having this debate during this month, which has been designated Child Protection Month. This motion for select committee comes in the aftermath of disturbing reports and allegations of sexual abuse and sexual exploitation of children at a public high school in Grand Bahama, and allegations of systemic failings by critical institutions to protect the interests of the children affected. Mr. Speaker, indeed, in some published reports, there has been the suggestion of a cover-up. Mr. Speaker, access to education is a basic human right and an important vehicle for any country's development. According to PLAN, which is an international agency, evidence suggests that sexual abuse not only affects the child's personality, mental and physical health, and future potential, but also has a knock-on effect for their families, for their communities, and for national economies. Sexual exploitation in school ruins the one real chance for a better and prosperous life for many children and increases their vulnerability for further sexual exploitation. It is one of the greatest obstacles to achieving the Millennium Development Goals. In short, Mr. Speaker, abuse and neglect in childhood, particularly occurring during a child's pursuit of an education, can cause long-lasting damage with consequences into adulthood and impacting nationhood. It is therefore, Mr. Speaker, the duty of the state. It is the duty of the state to ensure mechanisms are put in place to protect the interests of children and to weed out perpetrators. Mr. Speaker, this motion for a select committee relates to matters in respect of which the full facts are, as far as I'm aware, not fully known. The Minister of Education has yet to communicate to this Parliament. What we do know or surmise have been contained in numerous media reports, which are widely conflicting, including a recent press release by the Minister of Education, the member for Seabreeze. The Minister's press statement, I believe, confirms that there were allegations of sexual exploitation and abuse at the 8 Mile Rock High School in Grand Bahama. Speaker, I had taken the liberty of making my own inquiries, and if this House accedes to the application or the motion for a select committee, I do not want to preempt the facts, but I can tell you that my inquiries indicate that it was in fact another teacher that brought this matter to the fore, so that we can put in context the dignity of the teaching profession, that this there's an allegation of prolonged history of molestation, that it was reported to the police from last year, and that many government officials who indicate not knowing what the facts were, in fact, had knowledge, and that complaints and reports were made directly to them, including the Royal Bahamas Police Force, the Department of Social Services, and the Ministry of Education. But those are matters that will be explored when the, should the matter be acceded to, Mr. Speaker, which I hope it does. I hope there is a consensus on that. Mr. Speaker, a select committee is, in my view, necessary to investigate circumstances surrounding these serious matters for the following reasons. One, the matter involves the welfare of children in our educational system. Two, questions arise as to whether protective agencies such as the Ministry of Education, Department of Social Services, and the Royal Bahamas Police Force responded adequately or at all to complaints that children had been sexually exploited by a teacher in one instance over a prolonged period of years. Three, the systemic failings raise questions about how widespread these failings may be in our school system and the extent to which children are now being protected and are being seriously harmed generally in the system, Mr. Speaker. There appears in this case to be a serious dispute on the facts between government officials and community stakeholders as to what are the true facts of this matter. I think that's an unacceptable state of affairs, Mr. Speaker. We know definitively from the words of the minister, according to the reports, that established procedures were not properly carried out after the alleged sexual abuse was first reported. We know further, also from the minister, that there has been an intervention of a psychiatrist or psychologist relative to some of the children as a result of their contact with the alleged perpetrator. We also know that the alleged perpetrator has since resigned his post, and I think that was made a matter of public record by the acting director. We know that he has now absconded the jurisdiction and is now the subject of an international wanted status through Interpol. It is also reported that one of the victims was admitted to the Sandlands Rehabilitation Center. Mr. Speaker, I think one of the critical questions is, if it is correct that these matters were reported from last year, how is it that this individual would no longer be in the jurisdiction and would be a fugitive from justice, Mr. Speaker? The president of the PTA is reported to have said, Mr. Troy Garvey, that this matter was reported a long time ago, and the agencies responsible did not do what they were supposed to do, so we went public, and that's the quote. The matter was reported to, and I'm quoting from him again, from the president of the PTA of 8 Mile Rock High School. The matter was reported to officials in the Ministry of Education, in the Department of Social Services, and the police, long before they were made public. He also indicates that the relevant agencies had reports from late last year that the alleged perpetrator remained in the school system, among the school population, until ultimately, months later, after public agitation, he was removed, apparently allowed to resign, and is now a fugitive from justice in the Bahamas. Mr. Speaker, the dispute on the facts was such that the minister was reported to have said that he would not engage in a public or private dispute with the president or members of the PTA of the 8 Mile Rock High School, but he looked forward, in his words, to forging a partnership with them. Mr. Speaker, the minister, according to published reports, claims that they acted with urgency. But the PTA president indicates the agencies didn't respond. Mr. Speaker, such was the public discourse on this matter. It was such that one editorial weighed in to comment, and I say it only because I think I may want to adopt this, Mr. Speaker. They say the government's response was lackluster in the handling of very serious allegations. And for a considerable period of time, after it became apparent that there might indeed be some substance to the claims that were being made. Indeed, the ministry's first response was that it did not launch an investigation into the allegations because it had not received any documentation from the Department of Social Services or the police that the allegations had been officially reported. Speaker, much of what we know is the subject of public reporting from the mouth of the minister, senior officials of the Ministry of Education, and community stakeholders. The minister indicated that the media coverage impeded a proper investigation, that lack of food and food deprivation was a causative factor. The chairman of the National Child Protection Council, Mr. Gilmaker, Pastor Gilmaker, has said that he takes a different position on the media, role of the media. He says that he recommends that the media could do a better job by being more aggressive but responsible when reporting alleged cases of child abuse. And I quote from him, "Don't settle for these mediocre answers that we get a lot of the time from persons about what is happening with these child abuse cases. I would encourage the media to sit on the doorstep of the courts and provide priority to these cases." Speaker, contrary to the position taken by the minister, I believe the media should be commended for its role in bringing this issue to the fore and for doggedly keeping the issue in the public's eye, Mr. Speaker. Otherwise, the president of the PTA and other members of the community would not have had an outlet, Mr. Speaker. They just had the official view. This select committee, Mr. Speaker, will have the mandate to look across the board in public and private schools and review whether the interests of our children are being adequately protected and that there is consistency in the approach in this regard. And in this regard, Mr. Speaker, the work of a select committee should not be prejudged. The terms of reference ought to provide for a broad inquiry to allow for full investigation, which must be pursued actively and aggressively, taking a high road to uncover the truth. It must never be perceived, Mr. Speaker, that the government could possibly be involved in a cover-up, particularly when the victimized are children. Mr. Speaker, we ask the government to support an enlightened approach, which will hopefully lead to recommendations which will ensure that in the future, no child will be left in the wilderness of despair, having been failed by those who ought to look out for his interests. In particular, Mr. Speaker, special attention must be paid to law reform in the dealings with pedophiles and other sex offenders who prey on children in one form or another. It appears from what transpired in the 8 Mile Rock cases that the law needs some strengthening, Mr. Speaker. I have heard it argued privately by one of this House's members that such an investigation will further traumatize affected children. Mr. Speaker, to them I say, there is nothing more traumatic than having been victimized and violated and abused and exploited and severely harmed and thereafter face a systemic inability to obtain justice. Mr. Speaker, we know these matters are sensitive and the committee will be guided by the House. For example, providing that hearings not be held in public. Based on what my own inquiries have revealed, and I would not wish to preempt the work of such a committee, there are a number of interested parties who will have much to say about what has transpired. Mr. Speaker, what is most compelling in a most overriding fashion is that the protection of children is a moral imperative of society of the highest order. There is compelling evidence that this moral imperative was not met in an appropriate fashion at the 8 Mile Rock High School, which raises questions, Mr. Speaker, relative to the safety of children throughout the school system in this country. This is not simply a matter that can be brushed away as an unfortunate event with some unfortunate fallout, and we are going to try and do better next time. There must be scrutiny, accountability, and reform and correction. It is incumbent upon this Honorable House to inquire into the facts. The matter is that serious. And Mr. Speaker, the public is requiring, and I can tell you, Grand Bahama is watching this morning, Mr. Speaker. The minister indicates that the original procedures put in place were not followed. And his answer to that has been to put in place another procedure. And I think he says that new procedure will, instead of reporting it to the Attorney General, to report it directly to the police. But I just want to refer, just for our own edification, to Section 28 of the Sexual Offences and Domestic Violence Act. which embodies the principle not only of protection of children, but the duty on persons having care of children to protect them. And it provides: any person who A, is the parent or guardian of a minor, B, has the actual custody, charge, or control of a minor, C, has the temporary custody, care, charge, or control of a minor for a special purpose as his attendant, employer, or teacher, or in any other capacity, or D, is a medical practitioner or person registered under the Nurses and Midwives as a nurse or midwife and has performed a medical examination in respect of a minor, and who has reasonable grounds for believing that a sexual offense has been committed in respect of that minor, shall report the grounds for his belief to a police officer as soon as reasonably practicable. Subsection 2 provides further: any person who, without reasonable excuse, fails to comply with the requirements of this subsection is guilty of an offense and liable on summary conviction to a fine of $5,000 or to an imprisonment for a term of 2 years, or to both such fine and imprisonment.
No discretion.
No. Speaker, there is a mandatory duty in the case of schools in particular, but that whereas there is a reasonable basis of believing that a child has been sexually molested, that the matter must be reported to the police, and failure to do so is a criminal offense. And I'm just amazed that that was not part of the ministry's procedures based on what the minister has indicated. It seems really a very tragic state of affairs, Mr. Speaker. Very tragic state of affairs. Mr. Speaker, it is unseemly that action would only appear to be taken after extreme public pressure was applied. And I want to say that again, Mr. Speaker. Action only appeared to have been taken after extreme public pressure by community stakeholders was applied. Until that point, the alleged perpetrator, who's now a fugitive, was kept in the school system, and the cries of an alleged victim not followed through. And a number of victims I'm hearing now. I'm told that the alleged perpetrator has been in this jurisdiction as a teacher for 20 years. Speaker, I believe it is an accepted norm, hopefully culturally entrenched and supported by policy and law in all civilized countries, that children should be protected. Children should be protected. And that the welfare of children and young people must be safeguarded and promoted. Clearly, these norms are accepted and promoted in the Bahamas. We are signatories to the International Convention of the Rights of Children, and the member for Yamacraw, who will second this motion, will elaborate further on our commitments in this regard as a nation, which clearly show our commitment as a people to the protection and promotion of the well-being of children and young people. The recent events, Mr. Speaker, have brought into question our ostensible commitment to these ideals. We must be seen to be seeking a higher place than what has transpired over these last few months. In my view, Mr. Speaker, we have let ourselves down. In the circumstances, Mr. Speaker, and in all the circumstances, and having regard in particular to one, the apparent systemic failure of critical agencies, namely the Ministry of Education, the Department of Social Services, and the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And two, the likelihood that this phenomenon may exist across the board in schools throughout the country. And three, having regard to the fact that we are speaking about the most vulnerable sector of our society. And four, having regard to the fact that policies, procedures, and laws appear to have been insufficient in protecting children against pedophiles, particularly those in positions of trust. And five, having regard to the rumors and innuendos of similar stories throughout the country with similar weaknesses in addressing the matters. And six, considering that these events have apparently pitted community stakeholders against officialdom. And seven, the apparent dispute as to the facts. And eight, the allegations of cover-up, and I've even heard the word of corruption, Speaker. And 9, having regard to the public comments of apparent helplessness and even insensitivity of public officials. And 10, and finally, because we commit ourselves to the high ideals of decency and the protection of our children, these are all compelling rationale for the appointment of a select committee. Mr. Speaker, righteousness exalt a nation. I so move.